Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Dorothy Gundy, Anne Ball, Brian Lynn, and Alice Bryant. Later, John Russell will have this week's education report. But first, here is Dorothy Gundy.
A new study shows that deaths and material costs from terrorism have risen sharply worldwide. The study estimates the economic impact of violence on the world economy in 2016 at $14.3 trillion. The Institute for Economics and Peace released the latest Global Peace Index, GPI, last week. The Institute is the idea of Australian businessman Steve Killelay. The group says it seeks to develop understanding of social and economic actions that lead to peace. Researchers were asked to study 23 separate indicators to rate levels of peace in 163 countries around the world. All the measures were related to the domestic and international conflict, safety and security, and each nation's level of militarization. The researchers say the world became a little more peaceful over the past year. They noted an improvement in 6 of 9 areas, with South America registering the largest improvement. Yet world peace has been deteriorating over the past 10 years, they said. This trend, they warned, reverses long-term improvements since the end of World War II. The new report says the number of terrorist incidents has risen nearly 200% since 2011. That includes an increase in deaths that resulted from terrorism in the 35 members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Since 2007, deaths from terrorism have increased by more than 900% in OECD countries. Terrorism-related deaths were reported in the past year in 23 of the countries, including Denmark, France, Sweden, and Turkey. Terror attacks took place in many areas, including the French city of Nice, Brussels, Belgium, and Orlando, Florida. The United States fell 11 places in the GPI to number 114. The researchers say the country has experienced an increase in political division. They also noted an increase in the rate of murders in several major American cities. The report estimated the cost of violence in the U.S. was equal to $2.5 trillion. That number represents almost 9% of all U.S. economic activity. Michelle Breslauer is with the Institute for Economics and Peace. She spoke to VOA on Skype.
Now, even though peace globally is improving, we have seen declines. For instance, in the U.S., the Middle East and North Africa region continues to deteriorate, and there's an increasing level of inequality between the most peaceful and least peaceful countries. That means that there's a bigger gap in peacefulness around the world.
The report ranked Syria as the least peaceful country in 2016 because of terrorism and the ongoing civil war in that country. The Middle East and North Africa area was rated the least peaceful area in the latest report. It said conflict in the Middle East had reached historic levels. The report noted battle deaths from conflict are at a 25-year high, and the number of refugees and displaced people are at a level not seen in 60 years. Most terrorist activity took place in five countries. They are Iraq, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Syria, and all ranked near the bottom of the latest list. At the top of the index, Iceland ranked as the world's most peaceful country. New Zealand and Portugal followed in the list. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Aides to President Donald Trump say he will not stop James Comey from speaking to members of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday. Comey is the former head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Committee members want to question him about his talks with Trump before the president ordered his dismissal. President Trump had been considering whether to say their discussions should be kept secret under the legal doctrine of executive privilege. In the past, other presidents have claimed executive privilege to keep their discussions with top aides secret. But if Trump had tried to do so with Comey, it would have caused many people to think that the administration was trying to hide information about the Russia investigation. Political observers believe courts would not have supported Trump's claim. Presidential spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters the Trump administration wants a quick and complete examination of the facts. Political observers say Comey's statements to the committee could harm the president. Comey was leading the FBI investigation of Russian involvement in the 2016 elections at the time of his dismissal. He was also investigating possible illegal contacts between Trump campaign workers and Russian interests. The Russians are accused of helping Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, defeat the Democratic Party's candidate, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Speaking to a reporter, the president said he was thinking about the investigation into Russian involvement when he decided to dismiss the FBI director. Comey was in the fourth year of a 10-year term as head of the country's top criminal investigative agency. Trump has often criticized the FBI and congressional investigations of possible Russian interference in the election. He has accused Democratic Party activists of using reports of Russian involvement to explain Clinton's loss in the elections. A few days after Comey's dismissal, people close to him told reporters that he kept detailed notes of his meetings with the president. They say Trump asked during one of the meetings for Comey to promise he would be loyal to him. They said the FBI director would not do so. People close to Comey also said Trump asked him to stop the investigation of Michael Flynn. Flynn, a retired Army general, served for just 24 days as Trump's national security advisor before being fired in February. U.S. eavesdropping showed Flynn had lied to Vice President Mike Pence about his contacts with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. before Trump took office in January. People close to Comey said Trump asked the FBI director to stop his investigation of Flynn the day after Flynn was dismissed. The same people have told American media that Comey believed Trump was trying to pressure him in an unacceptable way. Observers say Comey will probably be asked if that is true when he speaks to the Senate committee. The Department of Justice named a former FBI director, Robert Mueller, to lead a criminal investigation of the possible illegal contacts between Trump aides and Russians. That investigation has just begun. Trump opposed the decision to open such an investigation. In addition to Mueller's investigation, the Senate Intelligence Committee and three other congressional committees are studying whether Russia interfered with the election. The investigations were launched after U.S. intelligence agencies said that Russians attacked the computers of the Democratic National Committee last year. They said the Russians were trying to damage Clinton's presidential campaign. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said there is no evidence of Russian involvement in the election. I'm Ann Ball.
Energy from sunlight is now providing electricity to Syrian refugees at a camp in Jordan. The Azraq camp is the first in the world to completely operate on clean energy, according to the United Nations Refugee Agency, or UNHCR. The new power center uses hundreds of panels to collect energy from the sun. The solar power plant cost about $10 million to build. The money came from the IKEA Foundation, a program that directs IKEA's efforts to help people living in poverty. The Swedish company donated 1 euro to the UNHCR each time someone purchased certain lighting products. The power plant began operating in the middle of May. It currently serves about 20,000 Syrian refugees living in shelters. There are plans to expand the service to all of the camp's 36,000 refugees by early 2018. Until only recently, people living there only had small solar lanterns to light up their living spaces. They also had very few ways to keep shelters and food cool. In January, Jordan's power system began providing electricity to some of the camp's residents. Now, the new solar plant will save the refugee agency about $1.5 million a year on fuel costs. UN officials say the savings can be used to pay for other much-needed assistance. Kelly Clements is Deputy High Commissioner of the UNHCR. She says the solar plant marks a great turning point in the lives of the refugees.
It means lighting for safety, for protection at night, for some cool in terms of a fan on a hot summer's day, or some heat in the winter during the cold months.
Refugee Farhan Nazal says having reliable electricity gives his family more individual freedom.
Before electricity, we could not come and go as we please. At sunset, we would be confined to our homes. Now that we have electricity, we can go to our neighbor's house, enjoy the evening, or our neighbors can come over. It is more enjoyable, we have fun, and are happier.
Another refugee, Anas Ahmed, said the solar power now gives his children a way to study with the lights on. A fan also helps cool the area. He says electricity also helps the family in many other ways.
We also have a fridge now, so we have cool water and can preserve our food, and a washing machine. I previously had to transfer water, and my wife would wash clothes by hand. It's a lot easier for her now.
Setting up the power plant also provided jobs for about 50 refugees. They were trained and employed to build and set up the solar panels. They may even be able to use their new skills to find work outside the camp. I'm Brian Lynn.
Breast cancer is the most common form of cancer in women. Hundreds of thousands of new cases are identified worldwide every year. Now, one of the largest cancer prevention studies of its kind has reported some sobering findings. Just one alcoholic drink a day can increase the risk of developing breast cancer. But the researchers also found there are things people can do to reduce their risk. The American Institute for Cancer Research did the study. It examined 119 past studies involving 12 million women. 260,000 of them had breast cancer. Ann McTiernan was the lead writer of the report. McTiernan is with the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, Washington. She said the research showed a connection between drinking alcohol and increased risk of breast cancer in 10 studies involving 4,000 women. The women were of childbearing age and had developed breast cancer. The study found that the women who drank about 10 grams of alcohol a day had a 5% increased risk of breast cancer. Although 5% seems like a small amount, the study's chance of mistake was very low, said McTiernan. Another group of studies involved 35,000 women who were postmenopausal and had developed breast cancer.
We found that there was a 9% increased risk for drinking that same amount of alcohol, an average of 10 grams a day of alcohol. Again, small glass of wine, 8 ounces of beer, 1 ounce of hard liquor.
McTiernan said the World Health Organization considers alcohol to be a carcinogen, a substance that can cause cancer. It contains a liquid called acetaldehyde, which damages DNA. Investigators also found ways to lower risk. They say forceful exercise, such as running or fast bicycling, decreased the risk of breast cancer. Young women who were the most physically active had about a 17% decrease. A 10% decrease was found for postmenopausal women who took part in similar exercise. Moderate activity, such as walking and gardening, was found to reduce the risk of breast cancer by 13% in the most active women compared to the least active. There was also evidence that eating a non-starchy, plant-based diet lowers the risk. However, that does not mean people must eat only vegetables, McTiernan said.
It just means eating a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit, making sure the vegetables are mostly non-starchy, that means not potatoes, eating dairy products because they're high in calcium and they may have some benefit on their own.
McTiernan said eating a diet with lots of fruits and vegetables can help women keep their weight down. That is important since being overweight can increase an older woman's breast cancer risk. The Institute says 1 in 3 breast cancer cases in the U.S. could be prevented if women cut alcohol from their diets, stayed physically active, and kept a healthy weight. The American Institute for Cancer Research is part of the World Cancer Research Fund, which collects and studies information from around the world on cancer prevention. I'm Alice Bryant.
If you are like many language students, you might have a problem with procrastination. Perhaps you are slow to do homework or study for a test. Maybe you do not like to study, or you become distracted while studying. Whatever the case may be, learning how to focus can help you have more useful study sessions. What are some ways to help you stop procrastinating? In this education report, we will explore one method to help you focus, the Pomodoro technique. Francesco Cirillo created the Pomodoro technique in the 1980s. Cirillo was a college student at the time. He used a timer shaped like a tomato to help him focus on his schoolwork. Pomodoro is the Italian word for the fruit, by the way. The technique works like this. You set a timer for 25 minutes and work on a task until the timer rings. Take a short break, around 5 minutes, then reset the device. After several 25-minute study sessions, you should take a longer break, anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, writes Cirillo. Cirillo suggests recording the number of Pomodoro sessions you complete. He also suggests getting organized and planning for future study sessions so that you can complete the most important work first. The important point of this method is to help you focus and stop postponing work. Procrastination, says Dr. Barbara Oakley, is one of the biggest issues in language learning. Oakley is the creator of the most popular massive open online course, or MOOC, in the world. The class is called Learning How to Learn. Oakley, a professor of engineering, also has years of experience in language learning. She studied Russian and worked as a translator on a ship when Russia was part of the Soviet Union. The Pomodoro technique, she says, is the best way to help overcome procrastination. The technique goes beyond just setting a timer, adds Oakley. She notes the importance of turning off anything that might distract you while studying, such as a cell phone. Also, the important part about the technique is to train your brain to enjoy learning. Oakley explains that you should treat yourself after focusing for 25 minutes.
And when you're done, give yourself a little reward. Listen to a song you like, or, you know, get up and move around, or chat, or just some kind of reward. And that reward will help wire your brain so it more enjoys the actual process of learning.
The next time you have to study, give the Pomodoro technique a try. Set a timer for 25 minutes and try to focus as much as possible during that time period. Then give yourself a reward for your hard work. Maybe get yourself something to eat or drink. You can find free timers on the internet. They can help you with the Pomodoro technique. Or you can use an old-fashioned timer. The tool you choose to use is not important. What is important is that you avoid distractions and train your mind to enjoy learning. Give the Pomodoro technique a try and let us know how it works for you. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.